Get it? Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius, descendant from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life. He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say.
Eight, seven, five, four, three, two, one, zero. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Welcome to the Octavarius Podcast. Hey, this is episode 89 of the Octavarius Podcast. Holy shit, 89.
Were we right last week then?
I don't know. What'd you say? Did you say 88?
Oh, sweet.
88. Nice. Nice work. Yeah, episode 89. Like 89 hours. I was thinking about that the other day. Like, holy shit, 89 hours of recorded podcast material. That is nuts.
You get a background check in that time.
Yeah, and I do.
If you need a gun or something.
It makes me wonder how much time we have spent together just as Octavarius. We've spent just 89 hours doing the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Every hour was a day.
Maybe it's probably been a year. Maybe a combined year.
Is there still reverb, talking about, RJ? Like, living with half of
RJ, can you hear us pretty okay?
No, just
RJ
all of us.
RJ says it's reverb.
Oh, is there reverb?
Weird reverb.
Or we're just talking weird.
It could be. I'll see what's up. I'll see if I can fix it.
Hi.
Reverb means echo, right?
No, it means bigger presence in your voice. It's not like if you're talking in a cathedral and it sounds more full.
Echoey?
No, but it's like there's
like WGCI, the way they do their... Like, it sounds like they're talking in a hall.
Booming?
Yes.
Yeah, sort of like an echo.
WGCI.
No.
All right, without any further ado, let's start at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, it's Nick.
Hey, it's Chris.
Hey, it's Biwo.
Hey, it's Cloud.
I'm Gustavi.
I'm Galpi.
I'm Lauren.
I'm Tins.
Keith.
I'm Scott.
Oh, God. Mark. I'm Mark.
Very good.
I'm gonna try and restart the live stream section of the podcast. See if we can't get rid of some of this reverb. So I'm just gonna jump to shit. I forgot that mailbag. Where's that mailbag?
Sounds like you're talking through someone putting their finger around the ring of a crystal glass of water. Now he says, "Yay, we did it." Okay.
No. He said, "Yay," because Tins is gonna redo it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever. Go ahead, Mark. Do your shit.
Well, I see how much everyone cares about this mailbag.
Oh, we're glad you have.
Okay.
Oh, that's okay. It's open.
This one comes to us from one murderer.
What does Murr have to say?
Spent hours thinking of this.
And Murr writes, "Dear Octavarius, I may have just killed a guy.
Oh my god,
And here's the catch, though. I thought about it a lot before I did it. So, and now that's kind of making me feel like it's even worse to do." So do you guys have any advice? Like, what do you think about what just happened to me? Because I am, like, freaking out right now. Also, what is up with that?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'll go call the cops if you guys want to talk about this.
It's our civic duty,
really.
Yeah. Yeah, it's heavy.
Does anyone here ever kill anyone? That was awesome.
Nick's leaving the room.
I can't talk.
Here's the thing about murder.
Tell us the thing about murder, Chris.
there are some things you grow up and you hear about crimes. There's crimes everyone commits. Everyone gets speeding tickets, everything. But murder is one of those things that, like, an average person can't even fathom doing.
Most foul.
You know,
murder,
like, that, I always believe, like, murder is, like, you know, you can, like, your average person will steal something or, you know, do drugs or something like that, but, like, to actually murder someone is, like, in a category all of its own.
Yeah, it's way cooler.
It's worse. I mean, it's hard enough just to kill people. Murder is, like, worse.
Well, what about war? You kill people in war. Like, what do you...
Total gray area.
The thing about war is you're ordered to kill. If you're killing, you're not doing it because it's a premeditated decision on your part. You know, I feel like with murder, you want to murder someone. You
well, accidental murder.
It's manslaughter.
That's manslaughter.
Yeah.
We're talking about that's murder. We're talking about, like, I want to kill this person sounds because I have a reason, and then you just kill another human being and well, maybe get away with it.
You know, I was about 80 or so feet from a murder this weekend.
You were. Yeah. Yeah, we all were, I think, at some point.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I was...
you were outside, though.
Yeah, I was...
oh, yeah, you were no close one, to another okay. murder.
No, yeah. no one was murdered out there. Shot.
They were just shot.
Shot.
Oh,
we live in Chicago.
Yeah, but the one I was near, they died. So I... It was about 1:20 a.m. I was walking back from Arkham, and I chose to walk up Ashland and then turn right on Irving Park, heading east.
You were telling me about
right that. On that corner of Ashland and Irving, I actually saw the group of people that were standing like in the little bus stop area. And I remember thinking to myself, who would wait for a bus? A bus is never coming. Not at 1:20 in the morning. You can't count on a bus. So I kept walking. I got a short block. I got to the first little side street almost.
That's Greenview, I think.
I was just about to get to Greenview when I heard bang, 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 bang.
Oh, my God.
And I was, my first instinct was certainly not gunshots. Why would there be gunshots around me that I haven't had anyone shoot a gun? And I was thinking, I'm like, what was that? And I looked back and I didn't see anything different. It looked normal, but of course my vision was a bit blurred by the evening's activities. So I continued walking, and then a car sort of pulled up behind me, like he sort of stopped. It was like a red car, and I remember looking back, but also being unsure if I should like stop. And so I'm just gonna keep walking, and with the reasoning that if they were gunshots, then certainly the police would show up soon. So I have nothing to worry about. And then the police showed up. Two police cars went by me, and then a fire truck, and then an ambulance. So at that point, I was like, I guess those were gunshots. And when I map-quested the address of where the shooting took place, I was so close to it. If I was, you know, 30 seconds behind in my walk, I would have been at the corner.
And that was a premeditated hit.
Yes.
That one.
Like, they were after that one specific guy.
Yeah, it was a...
What happened? I didn't hear about this.
Gang-related, I believe it was a drive-by.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it was a drive-by. Last I had heard about it, it was a suspected drive-by. And they think it was a black SUV of some sort.
Wild.
So they think... So the people in the bus stop were the targets?
Yes. It was the one person... The person who was shot sucks. Was the target. I don't know if all three of them were targets. Oh,
so, like, someone told them a bus would come? Or, like, there's a reason they should wait in
you know,
the bus stop?
You know, I don't know. I have no idea.
Who knows? Maybe they were using bus tracker.
But, like, you have to live a drastically different life to be able to get away with murder.
Yeah.
Like, you either have to live...
Not necessarily.
Well, I mean, like...
Hide in plain sight.
If you're in a situation like this where you're part of a gang or some sort of, like, criminal activity, then, yeah, it's always a possibility... But if you're just a regular guy going to work, you know, having a family, holding a job, whatever you have to do, you got to be pretty damn clever to get away with murder.
Like Dexter.
Yeah, it's got to take. It takes a lot of thinking and planning and doing shit to like protect your ass.
Or getting like lucky all the time. Yeah. What if you're just like 100% lucky?
Then why do you have to kill people?
Because you can. Because
you have
to
so much luck.
Sacrifice for the luck god.
I mean, yeah, I guess.
yeah, see?
Well,
yeah.
I mean, I guess there's sociopaths everywhere. There are just people who just don't feel any empathy. They can just straight up kill someone, and it's not, you know, it's like, whatever.
Or it could be that you murder people because you are weeding out the bad people of society. Like in Dexter.
Like a vigilante.
I was talking about The Brave One.
What's The Brave
what?
One?
It's a movie that was unpopular.
Something about World War II.
What was it about like a lethal enforcer or something like that?
It was, what was that chick who was in Silence of the Lambs?
Jodie Foster
was in it. It came out like 6 years ago. Uh-huh. And it was just terrible. No one ever saw it. But essentially, I think what I gathered from promos is she was just killing people. Like bad guys.
Out of good. Like, what do you guys feel about
like vigilantism?
Yeah, like, what do you guys feel about that kind of murder? Do you think it's something to condone, like Punisher style killing, like kill all bad guys?
I don't like the Punisher. I think the Punisher is fucking nuts.
What about Venom?
I don't really like Venom either.
Okay,
so you don't support vigilantism, is what you're trying to say?
Vigilantism in real life is generally a terrible idea. Vigilantism in the comic book world, where you have someone like Batman who sticks to their morals and whatever, you know, like, Batman's better than everyone else. You know, Batman just is so good that I believe that Batman is an exception to the rule. And then also you look at folks like the Fantastic Four. I think the Fantastic Four manage it fairly well. Granted, they make mistakes. Batman makes mistakes. The Fantastic Four makes mistakes.
I think the Fantastic Four and Batman are drastically different in the sense that Fantastic Four deal with, like, supervillains. They fight specifically only supervillains.
Yeah, pretty much.
Generally, Batman, yeah, you're right. The Fantastic Four rarely deal with petty crime. Yeah.
They got that clause in their contract.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, somewhat you need the Fantastic Four because Galactus is here.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not like... Well, the cops are already on it. We don't need your help, Fantastic Four. Cops got this.
There's no... Brian, you sound like you don't believe in any type of lethal force in any way?
No.
Like, even if it's the authorities?
No, I
completely agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
You know, with the authorities, I don't know. There's so many things I don't know, LP. My life has been so easy. I have very few struggles.
White and privileged.
Yeah, I really. So it's very difficult for me to impart my thoughts and will upon others because I haven't dealt with it. I haven't dealt with the shit or whatever is going on, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I rarely face it. The closest I've come to, real violence is, you know, the shootings that have happened around our neighborhood recently. But even then, barely affects me. Barely. And so it's so hard for me to impart my will upon the use of force or not upon others. In a perfect world, I'd much rather we go along with the British way of doing things with a lot of, you know, very few guns. But
no
damn
guns.
It, man.
There's
what
no
the fuck do I know? I'm so useless.
Let me ask you, know? We're worried about, like, vigilanteisms and vigilantes having, like, too much power. What if, like, going along with the Batman thing or any kind of universe where that happens, the police force, the force that's usually used to protect the city, is corrupt? Mm-hmm. Where do you put the value then if no one's doing anything?
Well, I grew up in Chicago, Nick,
yeah.
So your definition of
corrupt
is very liquid to me.
Yeah.
For me, corruption works great. But for others, it doesn't.
I'm saying, like, the mob is buying
the
cops.
Where in Chicago is Palatine?
Northside. Northside.
Hey, motherfucker. Brown's Chicken.
Yeah.
Brown's Chicken Massacre, yeah.
Yeah.
And
Castelvi, we joked about in the cop podcast, you know, with that get-out-of-jail-free card, that's essentially legalized corruption.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. It totally benefits me, but...
But most vigilante... I think the vigilanteism that we're talking about is where they're murdering bad guys, right? Like, not like
Batman.
Yeah, Batman's
style. Also not killing.
Are we talking Batman style?
Batman doesn't kill.
No, Batman
kill.
Doesn't kill. I'm talking
but,
Punisher style.
But
that's
Punisher
what I originally
does, and, like, taxi
Punisher
driver,
kill.
He would kill, like...
Oh, yeah.
But he was crazy.
He shouldn't be killing anyone.
Thank you, Cloud.
Thank you.
He shouldn't be killing anyone.
What about Osama bin Laden?
Yeah, Cloud, fuck you.
Because, like, I tend to be someone who's like, oh, you know, like, let's not kill people, like, give people a second chance, you know, people are inherently good, all this stuff. But I got into an argument with, someone, she's studying overseas, and she was like, yeah, you know, it's never okay to murder somebody, it's never okay to feel happy at the death of someone else. And, like, when we killed Osama bin Laden, I was like, fuck yeah, we were drunk at Comedy Sports.
We were all,
yeah.
We
fuck
just
yeah.
did a show for the Chicago Improv, that was May 1st, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we all cheered at the bar, and then later on I felt kind of bad about it.
What do you feel about execution in this country?
Oh, man.
Here we go, right,
Lauren?
Lauren's been waiting for this.
If you want to talk about execution, I feel like it is the process that we have to do it, and all the things that go into it, it's just so much of a hassle that it's not worth it.
Yeah,
we should not do it. But when you're going into your Osama bin Laden thing, Chris, I feel like it got to the point where Osama bin Laden was such a problem for the world where nobody would take him, that you know, there you really didn't have a choice but to kill him. And also, you know, the SEAL team that had to kill him, it was basically, there was so much shit going on, there really wasn't a whole lot you could do but kill the dude.
But yeah, but that brings us to this, like, conundrum then, because someone like Osama bin Laden is so evil and so destructive to the world, it seems like we have no choice but to kill him.
Well, it's, nobody else would take him. No country would have him. Yeah.
You know, so is that something...
In Batman, Arkham will take the Joker, you know? Mm-hmm. There's no one to take Osama.
We would have taken him.
If Joker and Osama were cellmates,
oh, man.
There would be some crazy schemes out of that.
I doubt it.
Osama would be sickly and, like, dying.
You know what I think? I think there would be a language barrier.
Joker could figure that one out. Come up with, like, some little clown face thing that also translates for him.
Wait, why would they instead of like scratching pictures, they would resort to clown face things first?
Very complicated devices, yeah.
I love that he has these resources and time to build a device that translates Arabic into English with a clown face in prison.
Well, of course he does, because the whole system's corrupt.
Oh, that's right.
And he's got insiders bringing him all sorts of cool clown masks and electronics.
Yes.
So that he can specifically design equipment that looks like his stuff.
Wow. Because, I mean, if you're not going to brand your own supervillain tools, like, what's the point? No one's even going to remember you. Yeah. I think Scott, like, talked about execution. The thing is, like, there's this huge underlying moral debate, but in reality, like, it's the practical part of it, which is why I'm opposed to it. Like, I don't even, I'll never claim to be able to convince anyone one way or another on the moral side of it. There's just, if, like, 1 out of 10 of the people we're executing is not actually guilty of their crime, then, you know, that's what I would look at instead of whether or not executing them is right or wrong.
Sure.
Yeah, I suppose.
It just costs so much to
keep them alive?
Well, not only to keep them alive, but to go through the process of determining that somebody deserves to die, that I think it's just a waste of time to decide on that, and I'd rather just incarcerate them.
Have any of you guys ever seen Witness to the Execution?
No.
Is that a film?
Yeah, it's a film from mid-90s, also very unpopular.
Jodie Foster, really?
No. It was actually the woman from Ace Ventura.
Ha!
Einhorn.
Einhorn.
God, what's her name?
I'm on it. All right, Ace Ventura.
She was crazy. That chick auditioned for Catwoman. And was so crazy in her audition that they denied her and said, "Please stop bothering us."
Wow.
She wanted Catwoman that bad, and they just gave it to Michelle Pfeiffer.
Of course, right?
Not Courtney Cox. It's the other Sean something.
Sean Young.
Penn.
Is that her name? No.
It's Sean Penn.
It's Sean Penn.
I think it's Sean Penn.
Sean or I?
I want to say your name. Start.
Sean Young.
Yeah,
Sean Young.
From she's also in Blade Runner, Dune, and No Way Out.
Who's she in Dune?
I will find out.
Wait, which Dune?
Now I'm
probably not the
Dune.
She was also in Dr. Jekyll and Miss Hyde.
That's right.
I remember that.
We talked about it in another podcast.
Yeah. Sean Young.
But yeah, what's the deal with that movie, Scott?
Oh, nothing. I'm just trying to make execution funnier. It was terrible. It was just, you know, Sean Young playing as a guy who's on death row that they're not sure is guilty, and she's a reporter and tries to save him and then finds the evidence, but it's too late. He's already dead at the end.
I feel like as a kid, it seemed a lot easier for me to understand the concept of execution, because life and death as a child, I believe, is a very simple thing. You know, like, well, like when somebody explained to me execution as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, somebody that murders somebody else, shouldn't they die? They're terrible people.
It's Hammurabi's code.
That's and as a child, Hammurabi's code makes the most sense.
That's right.
Or at least it did for me. You all felt that way, too?
Well, yeah, then you learn. Well, because it's hard when you're a little kid to hear about, you know, like these, like, when you're a little kid, you do what you're told. You know, you have rules, you go to school, you have your parents, and you have to do what you're told, and then you grow up into the, you know, and you're an adult, and you realize that life is so much more complicated, and people don't really understand you or where you come from or know the things you've had to deal with. So how can they possibly tell you what to do? You know, who are they to do that? So when you grow up and you realize that people have histories, and you know, sometimes there's like bigger problems at play, or like things are happening, and you know, like sometimes just killing someone who did something bad, you realize that that's not going to fix anything.
An eye for an eye leaves everyone blind.
It's
what doesn't solve the problem at its root. It's just like, oh, another person's dead.
Arm would have been cut off.
It's so difficult. But even the way that we kill people here in the United States, in our legal system, like the family of the victim of the crime is able to attend the execution so that they get closure. They watch that guy die. They can do that.
I don't think I'd ever do that.
And other people,
I would
do
it with a sign.
I think we should
like holding up a sign
so,
like at a sporting event.
It's just
like,
such a
or
weird
like defense.
Thing.
That'd be pretty funny.
Like D, and then so your buddy.
You
bring a guest.
You just root for the guy getting executed, like hoping he would somehow be able to best his
defense.
Execution. And we as a country have had many different ways of killing people, like legally. Like we have right now the big one is injections, which gosh, what was the Susan Sarandon Sean Penn
Dead Man Walk.
Dead Man Walk.
Where you that gives you a really good picture of what it's like. It shows the different syringes emptying into his veins as he dies, you know.
And I don't know about in that movie, but the chemical that a lot of them use now, the company that makes the chemical begs the government not to use it for executions.
Yeah.
Because it's not made for
it's not. That's not what it's intended for. That's just what the government uses it for.
That's probably makes it a lot harder for them to sell that as medicine, then.
Something with animals, I want to say.
Yeah, and some they do think that it gives
you... Serious, that's probably why they're upset.
Yeah,
because every other part of the prison system lobbies the government like crazy to continue using it.
LP's laughing because this is, I think, the first time that we've sat next to each other, and he has to see how I search, which is complete lolcat.
So we brought up lethal injections, and we want to know what it's actually made for. The chemical is.
I found out
so
too.
So Castelvi, in the Google bar, the Bing bar, in this case. Types lethal injection, comma, what is?
Because tell me, is it seriously how you search for things?
That's literally how I search for things.
Is that how you search for things when we're not around?
Oh, yeah.
That's true. What to do in case of bear.
What to do in case of bear is my favorite.
Well, the most famous is, do seals live in water?
I can answer.
I remember that
from a long time ago.
Did it work?
We didn't. I don't think we
no,
ever got
nobody
an
ever
answer
answered that.
Seals live in water. You know what? I'll look if seals live in water.
Oh, look at the
lethal injection. It's a prac. Typically barbiturate, paralytic, and potassium solution for the express purpose of causing the immediate death of the subject. That's all it is. It says
and
so
then,
far.
Besides lethal injection,
what is it made of?
We also had the electric chair.
Oof.
Which
oh,
is just that's pretty wacky,
that's crazy.
And there are so many different types of electric chairs. It's just you know, have you guys? I don't know. As a little boy, I totally looked this shit up. Did you guys look at this stuff? Did girls look at this?
Oh, I
look
like
what?
No,
torture devices.
But I saw
oh,
green
like
yeah, just
oh,
torture
I
devices.
So
I saw green mat.
Yeah. And, like different
there's
killing
a,
devices.
I actually found there's a bunch of them. There's a sodium thiopental. Which is part of, there's pancuronium bromide, and then there's potassium chloride. These are three types.
The last one's just like bananas ground up and injected into you.
It's
pretty
like,
much
well,
anything
it's
in your brain
steps
will kill you.
They pump you in with this first one, and that's kind of like an anesthetic, and then the second one is a muscle relaxant, causes complete, fast, and sustained paralysis of the skeletal structure and muscles.
Yeah, so then,
and then the third
you
one,
don't flail around and you're not dangerous to anyone else around you, and then you also don't appear so dying.
Yeah, and it says that one can even cause asphyxiation. The third one stops the heart and causes cardiac arrest. So it's a three-step process.
And they empty them in Dead Man Walking, so you see, you know, like, oh, this is going into him now, and now this.
All this makes me think of One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
With
well, now it's going
yeah.
like, being over-medicated and, like, just what, you know, injections and shock therapy and all these things can do to your body. And you know, it can make you just less human. It's
that all crazy. That movie also has one of my most favorite endings to a movie, and yes, one of my favorite murders in a movie.
Yeah, wow, that's a good murder.
Yeah.
What did mercy killing? God, that's different.
I have never seen or read that.
Are you really? Serious? It's like the greatest book most.
It's pretty good, Scott.
I'm embarrassed to say that. It's one I know I should know.
Yeah, I know.
But I just never.
Oh, it looks great.
It's really good. I have it.
It's so good.
It's like a good serious movie. It's a good
it sounds like a bird flick.
It's not. It's, you know what, Keith? It's not a bird flick.
How many cages are there?
One. The hospital.
Life's cage. Hospital.
Yeah. There's so two cages. The hospital and life.
See, it's like birds.
Murder. But my other favorite scene in that movie is when he imagines the baseball game.
Classic. Seriously, like, it's one of my 10 favorite movies or so.
Yeah, I put it in my top 10.
You should read the book if you have not.
I have read the book.
It's also a good book. It's
play. It's also a good
book. Here's, like, it's tough because, like, movies make murder seem cool as hell.
Sometimes.
There's some movies, I'm watching Breaking Bad. I'm addicted to that show. And people die all the time. But they do it. It's so cool how they do it.
It's also pretty gruesome on Breaking Bad. That's what makes me not want to murder people.
But it's like, it's a common theme of, like, through all of art. Like, we love murder. We love, like, the ultimate revenge and eye for an eye justice. Like, that's been a common theme.
You
like,
ain't like stepping on AIDS, Chris.
Princess Bride.
Takes a man to kill.
That's why, you have guns. Guns make it a lot easier.
I'm sorry?
Like, with the advancement of weapons, it's just a lot easier to kill. Yeah.
That's why I hate guns.
Well, I know. But that's why devices. There are guns.
Mark, you hate guns?
Well, because it's like a bitch weapon. Like, if you're going to hurt someone, the thing about, like, a sword or your fists is that you have to physically exert all of the power to do any damage that you're doing.
So, not only that, but especially with fists, you feel basically just as much pain in the process. So
you also have to watch them as they die.
Yeah.
Well, look in their eyes.
Yeah, all the more reason you should maybe not do it as much.
So you hate guns because guns make it too easy to kill people?
They lower the bar that it takes to do, you know, lethal damage so low that, like, a child that finds a gun can kill somebody.
Whereas even a child that picks up his father's greatsword is going to have trouble wielding it.
But I wanted to mention how Mark made that so D&D-like that it spoke to me. Lethal damage.
No, I was with you 100%,
no, it's
Mark.
It's like if you had a character in a fighting game that to use the special that just killed your opponent, you pressed A.
Yeah,
and that's why everyone
with the golden gun.
I couldn't disagree with you more. I love rad guns. I think rad guns are so cool. Do I own any guns? Do I ever plan on owning any guns? No.
You know what was a rad gun? The noisy cricket.
I'm talking about like Jesse the Body Ventura's gun in Predator. That sweet ass Gatling gun.
Oh, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, it still couldn't kill the Predator because the Predator, bless you, is it's live, people. but Mark, like,
or the Annihilator 3000.
The Annihilator 3000 from Beverly Hills Cop 3. It had a microwave.
Playing guns. Like, I'll be in front of the mirror making cool faces and like pointing fake guns.
The gun eat RoboCop is awesome.
Yeah. I love what is the one in Judge Dredd?
The Lawless.
The Lawgiver.
I mean,
that gun was awesome.
Here at the mansion, you guys have an armory. You have an armory with some of
Nerf guns. Nerf guns. We have a lot of Nerf guns.
I agree with Mark, though. I think it takes more balls to murder a man with your bare hands.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
I mean, and the reason I really don't like them is not necessarily because I don't think they're cool, but it's because, although, you know, on an individual basis, no human would ever feel that this happens. But, like, the presence of guns in a place, like, increases your tendency to violence.
Oh, yeah. I totally hate it when, like, I don't even like it when a cop comes in with a gun and, like, it totally heightens my awareness.
Yeah. Super tense.
It's like, there is a gun in the room. Someone could die just in case.
And kids die from misuse of guns or having a gun around.
I had a gun shown to me when I was little by another little kid.
What?
Oh, yeah. I think you may have told part of this before.
Yeah,
like,
I think
like
I
that, that TV movie that everyone's always seen?
Yeah, pretty much.
Because that shit's real, dude.
I was pretty little. I was only like 9, I think.
Yeah, I was the kid who showed the gun. I was in that TV movie.
Are you kidding me?
I showed it to Christopher.
Oh, yeah, you
Yeah, I think I've told this story. But it was my Uncle Dirk's. It was on top of the refrigerator. And I think I just saw him put it there. And when they were gone, I was like, "Hey, Chris,
a poor place for it." Yeah,
I know. I got on the chair. I got on the chair, and like
it's a cookie jar.
I picked it up and I showed it to Christopher, and I was like, I held it by the handle, but I didn't put my finger on the trigger. And then I put it right back down because I was like, "All right, I touched it. I showed it to him.
My fingerprints are on it.
I'm done with it." I didn't want to play with it or anything. But
I have an uncle that has a ton of weapons, but he keeps them in order. Like from his door to his bedroom, it goes from least dangerous to most dangerous.
Yeah.
So that if someone breaks in, they'll get the less dangerous ones, but he'll be closer to the more dangerous
the
ones.
The missile launcher.
Yeah.
I like that it gives them the chance to fight instead of just keeping all of his weapons on the far side of his room by him.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're getting over it. Everyone's against murder, but how many people here have had? Of course, that would be so. But how many people have that? Fantasy where someone breaks into your house and you have to grab a weapon.
That's never a fantasy.
Fantasy
is the wrong word.
Have I
thought about that and try to formulate a plan in case it ever happened?
Yeah, what would you call
sure.
it? What's a smaller word for that?
Oh, it's so hard.
Planning?
Nightmare?
Like good planning?
I don't know.
That wouldn't be a nightmare.
Not fantasy.
I've never. Yeah. Really?
That's when I called Tim.
I have. I mean,
you guys as kids, never fantasized about like just fighting off the bad guys.
Being John McClane. Like,
yeah.
Come on, you got
what?
Like,
well, you got to be prepared. What happens if someone bursts in the store?
Where's
the
weapons?
Jump
out the window.
No,
I live on the second floor.
I'm gonna grab that punching glove and just fucking whip him in the side of the face with it because it's got a bike drink holder on the.
Well,
I'm just gonna whip things
first.
At people.
Mark's closest to the door. He's done.
Yeah.
Or whip a mic at.
I remember. He can hide behind his drum kit. He's got a good defense.
What if you're by yourself? You're by your own.
I know what I do. I just grab my
Lauren,
blue
like
plastic
you.
Donatello bow staff that I had as a kid, crouch down behind the island in the kitchen and wait for him to come in.
That was your plan?
That's what I did one time.
Hit him with a big stick.
But cool, what was your plan?
Well, it changes for every apartment. This apartment I live in now, what I do is I creep away. I hear them come up, and sorry, Gustavo, you'd probably not make it out of this one.
I'm not going to make it. I'm right by the door.
Exactly.
Man, right there,
I'm a floor above you. So
we just need you to scream. That's all.
Dude,
man.
I can do that.
I would sneak around and hide in the bathroom so they go up the stairs.
Make a lot of noise.
And I wait for him. Like I do the True Lies thing where he goes down one room and then he starts coming down. And as he's about to come near me, I just burst out of the bathroom door, take him down. Now take him down with what you say. I hope we have glass in our bathroom, like a glass pot. Like you put your contact lenses like in a glass thing. They'd be rooms. I'd break that, so it'd be a stabbing object. And I just stab him. This is violent, but it's self-defense. Go in his Achilles tendon, like, and like, he'd just fall down. And
this is really specific.
Yeah.
Dude.
My plan, well, my plan...
Done, I just, and then I'd punch him in the balls a lot.
Well, my plan is real simple. It's if I hear Castelvi scream, I go and as quickly and quietly as I can, I wake both you guys up, because we have strength in number. Like, that's what makes us. That,
oh yeah,
so you have
three
to be smart
us.
About it, and you have to get all of us. And I've got weapons. I've got swords. And
whoa.
So like,
I have a better plan.
Uh oh.
When this is happening, text me. Castelvi's getting murdered.
Why doesn't anyone want to help me?
Dude, I will try, man.
We're trying.
You just
we
have
know
to
what
get
I'll
a
do.
Plan
I'll turn on my PlayStation 3. I'll start playing like a video game, and I'll just start swearing. I guarantee you that murderer, that burglar, will get scared shitless.
I don't think you're right.
Don't think that like there's a mob war going on above him, and he'll just run.
No, probably
in fact, not. I should play video games every
he
night.
He would eventually figure out there's only one person in the room making
no,
any
no,
noise.
No, I would make... No, it probably sounds like there's more than one person in that room. It probably
but
does.
At this point already, Castelvi's dead?
Well, he's putting up a good fight.
Well, I'm
he's
fighting like if you're all by yourself and you hear a noise downstairs...
Oh yeah, Castelvi.
You grab the knife right away, or you got the balls to just check it out?
I grab a knife and then check it out.
Okay.
Or we could do plan C, which you mocked, Castelvi. which is...
Well, because you put up two fingers.
You could do the Home Alone defense.
Oh, yes.
Where you just take like a popcorn thing, scream now, so they think you have strength in numbers. You mocked me for that earlier. Now you know why I said now. So do I. And then you roll it, and it, you just do Home Alone defense. You start, like, throwing paintballs.
That's hilarious. So you just yell out, now?
And you think, like, now, Jim, Stewart, Levi.
What if he just had a gun and shot you?
Yeah. There goes your element of surprise.
Just die.
We've got the perfect, like, we live in the perfect place to booby trap Home Alone style. I think have we talked about this before?
I think so.
Booby trapping your place, fire hydrant, fire extinguisher duct tape to the wall.
It's, and like, but I mean, it's
that's only one of the stories.
Right.
It's messed up because when you're a kid and you're growing up, you see, like, what Kevin McAllister was doing. All things that would murder someone. Like, it would kill someone.
Well, those guys wanted to kill him. No. They wanted to torture him. They wanted him dead.
Two is more violent than one.
He took so much pleasure in hurting them, though. He took so much pleasure in their pain.
They're burglars.
Yeah. How do you think that they would kill him if they caught him?
They would bite his fingers off, hit him with the shovel, shove a nail through his foot.
Like they said. Yeah.
Good work, LP.
Yeah, no problem.
Or you could do Plan D, which is Kasovia again. I don't know how you're going
to. I'm already dead. What is it?
I can just attach a bunch of my belt. I only have two belts, so I have to get some belts from you, LP.
Okay.
And I can. I think I dive out of the one window and just slingshot myself around to the kitchen bay window, like I'm a SWAT guy.
Why wouldn't you do? You should do that out of your window because you, Mikula lives right above Castelvi.
Don't tell him that; they could be listening.
And you could swing out Die Hard style and like break the glass into Castelvi's window and save his life.
It's going to kill him.
I just bounce against it and kill him. Fall. All
right, guys. If you wouldn't mind, if I may, I have a list here of the most famous Hollywood murders of all time.
All right. Hollywood murders or murderers?
They're murders.
Okay.
They're famous murders.
Are these in movies or just in actual Hollywood?
Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, people who were murdered famously.
Some of them may have committed suicide.
That's the thing. A lot of them, like Kurt Cobain, is on there too. Kurt Cobain murder.
I don't think you're on a reputable site.
It's all conspiracy.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but there's
who
tons...
Who killed Elvis? I thought he...
Fucking the government.
People think he was murdered.
Quit being a goddamn sheep for once. Take the wool over your eyes, man. Can't you see?
It's hard to take the wool off my eyes when I'm growing it from my skin.
Goddamn sheep, man. They're in everything.
Yeah, there's secret
murders.
We gotta
arm ourselves right now. My militia and I... I have something going.
This is how the Band of Human Hunters.
Yeah, this is how it starts, man.
This is campaign.
Oh, I hate whatever.
What am I doing?
We're good, right? His future madness. Castelvi's future scares me. You know, sometimes I read things Castelvi writes, and I feel like I've doven on into.
Told me this.
Castelvi's brain. It's terrifying in there. It's terrifying.
Genius
to see
madness.
Fine
line. I say I tiptoed pretty well.
Your pensive would be terrifying. You're welcome.
Why do you guys say things that make Lauren
happy? I haven't heard from Lauren in a while. All this murder talk's got her down.
I know, it really has, guys. I was going to mention Voldemort and, like, you know, the splitting of the souls, but I didn't. Man. I held back.
You just did, Lauren. Just mentioned.
You're talking about the Horcruxes?
Yeah, I was going to.
Hmm. Wait, what about that has to do with murder, though?
Because you have to murder, yeah.
Oh, that's right. You actually have to kill somebody to
your soul, yeah.
Split up your soul into seven pieces.
Yep.
Or more, dude. You don't know.
You could be murder seven people. I mean, he topped that pretty good.
Yeah.
I think he got a lot more.
Yeah, that's true.
Lauren, would you murder someone in self-defense?
I mean, I would run is my first, you know, instinct.
But, like, when it came down
grab
to
Marilyn,
it,
run.
It was, like, you or them. Like.
She's going to eat that cat later.
No.
Or use him as a shield.
Castelvi was going to.
What? What am I going to eat?
No, you were going to eat it, Lauren.
I'm eating a cat? What?
In post-apocalypse.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's food.
I mean, yeah, if it was my life or theirs, hell yeah, jacket out of there.
Nick is in. God damn it! Nick's doing something stupid. Explain yourself.
I'm trying to be Ezio Auditore from Assassin's Creed. He's a vigilante.
You look like a frog.
Yeah, you look like a frog.
You look like a frog.
Scotch tape.
No, he's wearing a green hoodie, and he really looks like a frog.
He's got like blue jeans.
I saw the Ezio.
He had a hood on. He looked like a, he's just a frog.
So what makes him a vigilante and not just a murderer?
He's an assassin.
He's
a vigilante. He's an assassin.
It's an Assassin's Creed.
So he gets paid to murder.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
But what's his creed then? I take money and kill people.
They're protecting against the Templars, the conspiracy.
I haven't played the game. There is an Assassin's Creed, though, right? That's like a famous thing.
I believe so.
It's real, right? My dad was playing golf with a guy who had it tattooed on him, like the Assassin's Creed, and he had to talk to me about it. Like, what is this? You got this Assassin's Creed on tattooed on him. I'm like, what are you doing? It's a video game.
I feel like to be a really good assassin, you probably shouldn't have moral codes.
Oh.
Like, that's probably part
definitely.
Of it.
Like Hitman?
Yeah.
I guess you have to, you have to clear your mind of like, oh man, I'm in this dude's life tomorrow. Whatever.
Yep. Do you think you become less human if you have no morals? Yes.
Ooh. Jesus like Christ you murdered Christ. Yourself.
Life questions with Kyle.
But see, like, but animals have to murder all the time. Like, we're all animals, and animals have to do way more fucked up things than like civilized human beings do.
Yeah,
like,
I tell you guys when I was
like
on
that, then we murder other animals. I mean, if you're
we were built with the capacity to do that.
Yeah, but we don't eat our own shit like animals.
Come on,
I learned something interesting.
There's
one
difference,
which really made me like look at my grandpa in a different way. I found out that we had a family business that was a trucking business in Chicago for a long time. It was passed on our generations. And my aunt told me like that if you were in Chicago in that time and you had a trucking business, you dealt with a lot of the mafia, and that there were some issues that the mafia like actually like, I don't know if they killed anybody or what, but they would
not the mafia.
Family.
I don't ever kill anybody. Say it ain't so. The mafia killed
someone.
But yeah,
I was like so upset. I was like, wait a second,
wait a minute,
did
am
my
I
family
in the mafia?
Have something to do with this?
Did you think you were in the mafia?
No.
Did you think you were in the mafia? Were you like hopeful? Were you like, oh my god, I'm in the mafia?
The Jewish mafia.
Jeez,
but honestly,
real,
I was scared.
Yeah, dude, sure, that's the one.
Hey, Castelli.
Yeah.
That Assassin's Creed.
I
think I found it. Does this ring a bell?
I never played it, so it won't.
Ask me.
Ask them.
Nothing is true. Everything is permit.
One
more time for the listeners at home. It's nothing is true. Everything is permitted.
Oh, it's only like two lines?
Permitted, not permanent?
Everything is permitted. Permitted. Meaning like anything is allowed. You know, nothing's true. Like, do whatever you can because, you know.
And also, seals do live in water.
So it takes
finally.
Yeah. Well, I guess once you're open to murder, once you become a person who's like, all right, I can murder someone, I'll get away with it. Really, what's stopping you from doing? I mean,
it's so inhuman.
But we have some very high functioning sociopaths like in charge of the world right now. Like people out there can just murder. Like it's not like some of these people are very high in society. Murders get authorized from the top of like big things.
If you have a lot of money, it's a lot easier.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's true.
Or if you work
money
make
the world
station,
go round.
Like Dexter.
Yeah, I mean, we're so advanced in our crime stopping abilities. Not to Minority Report level, but
close. We got the Xbox.
We got the Xbox. Yeah, that's this is one more step, right?
As this podcast started, me and McCool were
doing
playing
free crime stuff.
We were playing Minority Report. We're doing it for like a full minute.
But I watch SVU, and they got some stuff that'll get you.
Oh, God, yeah.
That's all real.
Those cop shows. You're absolutely right. It's totally, like, it completely exaggerated. Same thing with NCIS. That's what it's called, right?
Yeah.
Is that the
right?
Nice work, dude.
I have no idea.
I met
the show. CSI's
the
thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Mark.
At the Bean, I met a blood spatter analyst. Or how do you say that? Analyst.
Yeah.
There we go.
Blood spatter,
and, he was showing us all this cool high-tech stuff that they have, like, well, no,
did
but
it look
he,
like in Dexter, where it was like a fucking web kind of thing?
Yeah, the lasers.
Why did he have all his equipment on him?
Well, he
just
killed
that.
So the blood is going like this, right?
He like, actually, he was a blood splatter analyst and also just worked for the police station somewhere and came in for a convention in town and was teaching about all this new technology, and he had it with him, and he just came to see the bean because that's what the, you know, person at the hotel told him to do. So,
do you know if do blood spatter analysts actually have an all white room with a dummy full of blood in it?
I don't know. I didn't ask about that.
And like
I
a bunch of weapons
though.
And shit.
I don't know what you talk about.
But it was really cool. There was lasers, and that like points to where like everything happened, and they know, man.
Morbid.
They know.
They know, man. Yeah, but I mean, after a while, you can get sort of desensitized to murders like that. If you're a cop, like my buddy, when I was a kid, his dad was a cop, and he was telling a story about how some old guy in the suburbs like blew his brains out, and there's blood everywhere and all that shit.
Ugh.
And he was telling the story, and there was this new guy who had to move the body, and he's like, "I can't do that, man." And he'd been like a sergeant for years. He's like, "Dude, it's your first day. You can't move a body." Jesus Christ. But that's how desensitized, because he'd see bodies all his life. So, I mean,
you have
dead
to desensitize
bodies,
yourself.
You've got to remove yourself from that.
But yeah,
same
but
as doctors. That's,
doctors, too. Well,
I mean,
I would say less so doctors. They're just like murdered bodies just right there.
All right.
But that's
maybe
a fairly.
Doctors probably watch
that's a fairly recent
die.
Thing,
you're
though.
Right, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Right.
That's okay.
For most of history, people have been pretty used to seeing people die, you know, like it's not like
I feel like
we've advanced ourselves so much it makes us like really uncomfortable to see that, but like in other parts of the world, even like right now, like that's just something people see, you know,
like gladiators, like it's cool for entertainment.
Yeah,
I was just saying that to LP that we should have those for a criminal system.
Yeah, that'd be sweet, man.
Instead of executions, just have
a gladiatorial event.
Yeah, come on,
you guys,
what would we sick on them?
They fight each other.
They would fight each other.
Oh, I want them to fight beasts.
Dude, we can have them fight beasts.
Guys,
we
totally
have them
fight like
lions.
10 gorillas.
Lions.
Dude, that's a lot of gorillas.
10 gorillas.
10 gorillas is a lot of gorillas.
But he gets like a great sword.
Three elephants.
And we get to train him for like 4 months, so he's not going in there without knowing how to use
we're
a sword.
We're wasting our taxpayer dollars on training these gladiators.
We're
selling tickets,
this is going to be awesome.
That's pay-per-view, man.
How much money would you make off of 10 gorillas versus John Wayne Gacy?
Pay-per-view. Man. You know it's gonna, you see him training, he's like, we're training him, he's getting big.
Is
like,
he dressed up like the clown?
Yeah, he is.
You'd have to do something like that at, like, Madison Square Garden.
He could make a painting, and then whoever, like, bid the highest
on
it, like, half of it would go to school.
Like, it would lower the debt would be solved.
It would turn us as a society
this is like
into
the
totally
running
different.
Man, with
but it's not too dissimilar than what they did in the past. That's what gladiator events were.
I know.
And I say bring it back.
Let's just go back.
If it ain't broke, make them kill each other.
So one of my favorite parts of the I'm reading the Song of Ice and Fire series right now, and one of my favorite parts about that mythology, that history they've made, is the idea of like a court trial by combat. So basically, like if you're, it's like if you're convicted of a crime and you go to court, instead of like waiting for a pronouncement, you can say instead, I want to decide this by combat. And by law, you get to fight somebody. You get to fight for your life against somebody. And if you win, you're absolved of the crime and you get to go home.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who is the person that he has to fight?
The person like the defendant or whatever
champion.
Or the person infringed against like chooses a champion. Each person can choose their own champion.
Wow. Wait, you don't even have to fight?
No, you totally don't have to fight yourself. You can have somebody if somebody's willing to step in there for you, they can totally do it. And they could like if you murdered someone and then your champion wins a battle and kills the other dude, you get away with murder. And everyone walks away.
Huh.
Who's read The Hunger Games here?
I have read that too.
I have not. I need to.
I have not
heard of it.
It's a lot of murder in it.
Yeah, that's gonna be
like
pretty...
kid murder.
Like
yeah,
a lot of kid murder.
It's
in
the
it.
Ages what 11 to 17?
17, 18.
Yeah.
Oh man, those 17-year-olds probably have a big advantage on an 11-year-old.
Yeah, actually. Well, and that's depending why the main chick in yeah. The Hunger Games goes in for her sister because of that. Her sister's 11.
It is quite a bit yeah. Like the film Battle Royale.
11-year-old kids are ruthless, man. Like 17-year-old yeah. Kids are becoming aware that people are people. 11-year-old kids, man. Give them like a grenade launcher. You see what they do, man. You just see what they do.
What? You've what seen you this, man. You know.
Well, I'm think. I haven't seen the Hunger Games. I just know Battle Royale, and in Battle Royale, every kid was given one weapon in this death free for all on an island.
Same.
And
yeah, same.
Some kids lucked out and got really awesome weapons, and you know, like a gun or and like so, like one kid gets like a pot. You know, yeah. One like mm-hmm. Some just get shitty weapons.
Slappers only.
Pretty much, yeah.
I'm going to point out, Chris, that you haven't seen The Hunger Games because it's a book.
Yeah, no, I realize that. I know they're making the movie. I misspoke. I was hoping no one would catch that.
I gotcha. You know, one of the things that I'm thinking video games in particular, one of the games, the experiences that first made it like really, really okay to pretend to murder people was like the Grand Theft Auto series.
Yeah.
And that like
open world kind
revolutionized of. Revolutionized like the amount of violence you can have on screen. It revolutionized like being okay with murder on screen.
What about 007?
Yes.
Well, he has a license to kill. This
yeah. Yeah, well, exactly.
It was like anarchists. Like it was basically you can do whatever you wanted. But the thing is mm-hmm. You can murder people but you it's not like you were seeing anything. It was like blocks because you saw it from overhead.
Right.
And it was like terrible graphics.
Grand Theft Auto 2 was from a bird's eye view as well. And they were like just starting to make graphics. Things a little bit better.
In the chat room, RJ says, what about Mortal Kombat?
Mortal Kombatants.
Grand Theft Auto is like the first time kids were able to actually, you know, take hookers into alleys, mm-hmm. have sex with them, and then beat them to death and take their money.
Yeah.
That's what you can do in the Grand Theft Auto games, and you're the hero.
You get your health back up, and then you get money.
You get really used to it. You play it.
There's some consequences. The cops come sometimes.
Yeah, but if you hide around the corner and wait 30 seconds, they stop looking for you.
If you're in a sniper tower.
The main thing for me was that like they're not fighting back most of the time. Like in 007, you know, the other people have guns. You know,
they know you're coming. Yeah.
This is just a world full of people trying to like go to their job.
Yeah, this is like people waiting in line at the bank, and they didn't think this was going to happen today.
And that's today.
I'd always go for the guys who were jogging. There would be like a group of dudes just jogging. They were all in the same tracksuits. Because if you got all of them in a row, you would get bonus points.
Achievement
unlocked.
I would get into a car with someone. This is horrible. I would get into a car with someone, but they'd be stuck in the passenger seat, and I'd just drive off into like a river.
Steal a child or something?
No, like an adult. Which, you know, it's still just as bad.
Sometimes it was a child.
Makula.
Yeah.
Oh, and I guess my two roommates. Do you guys remember when we were looking for apartments?
Yeah.
This guy was driving us from the apartment.
Oh, that was a...
And he told us this really weird story about murder. He was like, he was just driving. He was very awkward, and he's just like, "Hey, did you guys ever watch Death Race 2000?" And we're like, and like they had, and I was like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I have." And he's like, "It was pretty cool. Remember how like if you hit a mom with a stroller, or if you just hit the stroller and just left the mom there to see it, you got like bonus points."
He was saying this as there was a woman with a stroller in front
yeah.
of his car.
I believe I texted both of you saying, "We're going to die today."
You did.
You did.
In the car. I was sitting shotgun, I think. Oh, man.
That was just him, and then he was... We felt bad. He was so nerdy. He couldn't get into any of the house. Like, the doors, he had all the wrong keys.
No.
So he's this really mild-mannered guy, and he would just be like, you know, just... All right, hang on, I'll try this other key. All right. Shit, I can't fucking believe... okay, and just like trying every key, and he was so full of anger at his job. And then he alluded, he's like, yeah, maybe we should all get a drink. And we're like, oh, we got things to do. we had somewhere to go that night. Hope that guy didn't murder anyone.
You know, folks out there in podcast land, sometimes when you're into the murder in life, sometimes you just got to enjoy the finer things. You got to take a step back, have some you time. And one way a murderer might do that is by playing some golf. So here are some of Cloud's golf tips.
First, you must slay the beast. Then, you must slay 10 beast animals. Then, you swing.
This has been Cloud's golf tips. It was abstract.
Wow. Jesus Christ.
Beast animals are different.
Okay.
Ah.
Bullseye.
I don't know what they are.
Find out on the course.
Golf seems so different.
Probably alligators if they're in the south.
Yeah. Mm. Depends on location.
Wait, is there really alligator hazards on southern golf courses?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you see Happy Gilmore?
Yes, but I don't remember the alligator part.
The biography. Took Chubbs' hand.
That sucks.
He's very crucial.
I just remember the Shooter McGavin stuff, and then him yelling and running at the ball. No alligators.
I'm sorry. Big gator thing.
I'll have to watch it again.
It's an integral part of the movie.
It's time to watch Happy Gilmore again, is what that means.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
Well, folks, it looks like we're just getting to the end of the podcast, but if you're listening live through Octavarius.com's RJ. Podcast section, you may know that this Sunday we have our upcoming first of two murder mystery shows.
Yay!
Written by none other than Matt Castelvi.
Hey,
it's super
doing?
Exciting. So if you're listening live, that's this Sunday. If you're not listening live and you're getting this from Octavarius.com or through iTunes the following week, then you can catch the second murder mystery show.
Yay! Fuck you! I don't really like murder mysteries. Yeah, fuck you! We're doing two.
You really got that.
And otherwise, check us out.
Show our listeners.
Be sure to check us out sometime. We have shows every Sunday at 7 p.m. At Comedy Sports Theater in sunny Chicago, Illinois. That's 929 West Belmont. And with that, we're just about done. But before we go, it's time for... He's preparing for it already. Nick Mikula's
Seven Words of Wisdom.
Plan Armando, get up, regal, stairs, with...
That has been Nick
Mikula's Seven Words of Wisdom.
What?
You ended with a preposition.
I couldn't see. Was he just looking at words that were on paper and then just picking them?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what
it's
I thought.
A secret. In case someone tries to kill us, they won't know what plan E is.
What?
All right. Until next time, folks, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
No, run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back for more.